The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school the mitzvot.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Isaac Shehbad in honor of his parents Jack and Marilyn. Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen. Daf Lamid Tet. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat HaNefteret B'Kitzur Yamim V'Shanim Mazal Bat Frida Ruach Hashem Tanihenna Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied L'Refuah Shelema for Chaim Ovadia Yosef Ben Gurjia Enna Refanado Enna Refanado בתוך שאר חולי עמו ישראל, וגם רפואה שלמה, ברוכה, בת אדל. אל נא רפנה לה, בתוך שאר חולי עמו ישראל. אמן. We begin today's daf on למד חת עמוד בית, and we are actually three lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, אמר רבה, לא למה אינש ברוך הבא, והדר בשם השם, אלא ברוך הבא בשם השם בהדדה. When a person is saying the pasuk ברוך הבא בשם אדוני ברכנוכם מבית אדוני, which is נהלל, he should not say it with a breath in between the words ברוך הבא and then בשם השם, which means he shouldn't say ברוך הבא then take a breath and then continue and say B'Shem Hashem. Hela, what should he do? He should say it in one shot. Now, what's the issue over here? So look at Rashi, two lines at the bottom. Mi she'en acher makre oto. We're talking about a case where he's not listening to somebody else read the Hallel for him, like was customary in the olden days. We're talking about a guy, he's saying it himself. He's alone, he's at home, he's saying the Hallel himself. Lo lema baruch haba. Don't say Baruch Haba V'Yinshom and then breathe Bentayim V'Adar B'Shem Hashem. Why not? De Lo Kaima Azkara Amiltad De Le'el, because it looks like the name of God Chas V'Shom is just hanging, which means you've taken it out of its context, because by pausing after the words Baruch Haba, so it just sounds like when you say B'Shem Hashem, B'Shem Hashem is just hanging, it's not going back on what you said originally. It looks like Chas V'Shalom, you're saying God's name to Batala, but when you say it in one breath, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, so that's obvious that the name of a God is going on at the beginning of the Pasuk. Now again, if a person was listening to the Hallel from somebody else, and the Makre said Baruch Haba, so the listener would be able to finish and say B'Shem Hashem. Because there we have a rule of Shomei Ka'oneh, that when you listen to something, it's as if you're saying it. So therefore, that would not be a problem, even if you breathe in between, because his saying and your response is considered all one. However, if you're saying it together, one should be careful not to breathe in between. That's the opinion of Rava. Now, we skip the parentheses, and we go to the Amud Rishon, second line. Amar Rava. Rava came along and said, "Lo lema inish yehe shemer rabba vehadar mevarach." When a person is answering the kaddish, he should not say yehe shemer rabba, pause, and then say mevarach. Ela yehe shemer rabba mevarach ba'adadeh. He should say it altogether. Now let's analyze this part of it.
This logic is Yehesh Shemei Rabba, even though it's not the name of Hashem, but it's a reference to the name of Hashem. Let your name, Yehesh Shemei Rabba, let your great name. Now, if you're going to pause and say Yehesh Shemei Rabba, well, the context of the sentence is let your great name become blessed. Mevarach. So therefore, you should not pause between Yehesh Shemei Rabba and the word Mevarach, because again, it takes the words Yehesh Shemei Rabba out of its normal context. Again, it's not the exact problem that we had above in the Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem Pasu. There was in Yan of Shem Hashem Lebatala. You're saying God's name in vain. Here, God's name is really not in the Kaddish. It's just Yehesh Shemei Rabba. But in order, since you are making a reference to God's great name, you should not pause between the words Yehesh Shemei Rabba and Mevarach. Now, it should be noted that we learned in Masechet Berachot the opinion of Mahazor Vitri. Mahazor Vitri, they understood the interpretation of the Kaddish at this point. Yehesh Shemei Rabba. Shemei is actually an abbreviation of two words. Shemei stands for Shem Ya. And therefore, according to Mahazor Vitri, the interpretation of the Kaddish was Yehesh Shemei Rabba. Your name, Yah, Yudke, which is incomplete, because God's full name is Yudke Vavke, let your name, Yah, become Rabbah. Let it become great. Now, this Gemara seems to oppose that opinion, because according to Mahazor Vitri, it makes a lot of sense to say, Yehesh Shemei Rabbah, and pause, because that is the complete, concept. So therefore, it makes more logic, according to the other opinions that would say, that no, it's not saying Shem Yah, it's just saying God's name. Let your great name become exalted, or Mevarach. So that's the Hakamim do bring a proof against Mahzor Vitri from our Gemara over here. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rav Safra. So Rav Safra comes along and tells Rava, Moshe, Shapir Kamart. Moshe, are you saying good? And as she says, this is Bitbiha. He's asking him rhetorically. Now, what is he referring to Rava as Moshe? He wasn't Moshe, his name was Rava. What does this mean, Moshe? So that she says, Gadol Ador. That was like a nickname that they would give to the Gadol Ador, they would refer to him as Moshe. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the Gadol Ador in his generation, so they would refer to him as well as Moshe. I once heard, brought down actually from the Tikkuni HaZohar, that they say every scholar in every generation actually has a spark of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore they would always refer to the Talmidei HaChamim, even if their name wasn't Moshe, but you could always refer to a Talmid Hakam as Moshe, because to a certain degree, he is Moshe, because he possesses the nitzotzot of the neshama of Moshe. In any event, he tells him, Moshe, Shapir Kamart, which means, are you saying good? Which means, Rav Safra says, I don't agree with you. They tell me you can't breathe in between these pesukim. Ela hatam vehacha asuke miltahu. What he tells him is that, bottom line, you're just concluding the matter that you started with. Asuke milta. And then, well, there's no problem if you breathe in between. What's the difference? Everybody knows you're finishing the pasuk that you started with. That she says, Hu'il v'chavanato ligmor. Since the guy's kavanah is to finish the pasuk, let lamba. There's no issue over here. So therefore, it comes out we have a mahloket between Rav Safra and Rava. Are you allowed to actually pause in between Baruch Abba and B'Shem Hashem, or Yehesh Shemei Rabba and Mevarach? Now, it should be noted, the mahloket is only can you take a breath, but everybody agrees that you shouldn't take a pause longer than a breath. Which means even Rav Safra will agree, you know, you can take a breath, which is normal, and then continue to pasuk. But to make a very long hefsek, even Rav Safra would agree. Okay, so that's that piece. Now the Gemara continues. Makom shenagu lechfol. Now we learned, some had the custom in the Hallel to repeat every pasuk. The reason for that was, is because at the end of the Halel, in the chapter Minam Metzar, every pasuk in Minam Metzar is actually doubled. So remember when we learned in yesterday's daf, for example, the first pasuk Minam Metzar Karati Ya Anani Bamirhav Ya. So you see the double language. Or you have Sabuni Sabuni, or you have Daho Dehitani, etc. So every pasuk is actually doubled. So therefore, to model the rest of the Halel after the Minam Metzar, they had a custom to repeat every pasuk. So the Mishnah said, if that's their custom, fine. Makom shenagu lichvol, yichvol. Tana, we have a statement. Rabbi kofel ba devarim. Rabbi actually was kofel ba devarim. Rashi says me'ana behala. Jeez, he was kofel from Anna Hashem Oshi'ana. From that part of the Halil on, he was double. He would repeat the pasuk. He would say Anna Hashem Oshi'ana twice, Anna Hashem Oshi'ana twice, etc. Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, Mosif ba devarim. He would add. What does it mean, add? Rashi says, Mosif ba behalil, Mosif lichfol al kfilatot shel Rabbi. He would double more pisukim than Rabbi would do. Well, which extra pisukim was that? My Mosif, Amar Abaye, Mosif lichfol me'odecha ulmata. He would start earlier. He would start from Odecha ki anitani vatehidi lishua. He would repeat those pisukim. Whereas Rabbi would start from after Odecha. He would start from Anna Hashem Oshi'ana, which is after. The Gemara says that the Ma'azab ben Parta, he would actually double from the pisukim of Odecha ki anitani. Should be noted that that is our minhag as well, that we repeat, we double the pisukim from Odecha ki anitani. Okay. And now we continue. The Gemara Mishnah continued. Levarech yevarech. A place that had the custom to make a beracha aharonah on the Halil, the Mishnah said they should keep their custom. It's a legitimate custom, which incidentally is our custom as well. On a full Halil, we do end up with Yehalelucha. We say Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Gadol Mulal Batushpachot. Now, Amar Abaye, Lo Shena Ela Le'acharav. The whole discussion now, Mishnah, the Minhag, whether you make a beracha or not, was only discussing the beracha aharonah. However, Aval lefanav, regarding the beracha rishona before the halel, mitzvah lebarech. That is no question. Everybody agrees it's a mitzvah to make the beracha. Why? The amar of Yehuda amar Shmuel, kol mitzvot kulan. We have a rule when it comes to mitzvot. Mevarech alehen over laasiyatan. You're supposed to make the beracha over. Over is before. Before you fulfill them. Which means, in the case of the Halil, before you actually recite the Halil, you would have to make a beracha. So that's a standing principle. So now the Gemara says, "Ume'em mashma." Where is it mashma? Dehai over, that the word over lishnat de'agdumehu. How do you know the word over means kodem, meaning before? Because that's the statement the rabbis made. Kol mitzvot bevarech alin over la'asiyatan. So really, the word over means kodem la'asiyatan. Now, how do you know the word Oved means Kodem? It says, the Amar of Nachman, Bar Yitzhak, Tichtiv, Vayarotz Ahima'atz Derech HaKikar Vayavor Etakushi. This is a story in the Navi. After Avshalom, the son of David, died, so they wanted to inform David that his rebellious son Avshalom was dead. So there was a Kushi. And he was planning on running to tell David the news. However, Ahima'atz wanted to be the bearer of the news to David. So it says he ran ahead of the Kushi. So the pasuk says, "Vayarutz Ahima'atz derech hakikar, vayavor." He preceded. He became in front of etakushi. So you see, the word "vayavor" means to come before. That's what it means. Over la'asiyatan, before you fulfill. Abaye gives a different source. Vihu avar lifnehem. When Yaakov Abinu was greeting his brother Esav in that famous meeting that they had, so it says Yaakov was in front and his wife and children were behind him. So the pasuk says vihu avar lifnehem. He went in front of them. He went before his family. So again, you see the word avar means before.
Third proof. Behacha. Vayavod balkam lifnehem vashem birosham. This is talking about when Mashiach comes. And their king, that means the king of Mashiach, he's going to go before the people, Vashem Berosham, and Hashem is going to be above them. So you see from three different Pesukim that the words Over actually means Kodem. Now, some of the Mefarshim asked the obvious question, so why didn't the Gemara use the word Kodem? Why use the word Over? That we have to go start now finding out what the word Over means. Everybody knows what the word Kodem is. Just say, Kol HaMitzvot Varech Aleihem Kodem Asiyatam. So for that, the Mefarshim answer that if it would have said the word Kodem, so I might think you could make the Beracha very before. And that's not so. You're only supposed to make the Beracha right before you're about to fulfill the mitzvah. So the word Over is mashma like immediately before, that you shouldn't do it quite before. Now, there's a very important Tosafot, Dibura Matchil Over La'asiyatan. The point of this Tosafot is, he's going to discuss if this principle is correct regarding Berachot, how do we make the Beracha in the Lulav? What's the question? Because once you take your lulav in your right hand and your trog in your left hand, so already you fulfill the mitzvah already. Because the mitzvah is litol, to take the lulav. So how could you make the beracha after you took it? So he's going to ask, how do you make the beracha on lulav over la'asiyatam? So Tosfot begins, over la'asiyatam. Mita'am zeh, sarich levarech al lulav kodem shi'itelenu. You're going to have to make the berakah lulav while it's still on the table. Meaning before you pick it up. Because if you're going to take it after you picked it, if you're going to make the berakah after you picked it up, once you lift it up, you yotze. First of all, I don't like it. It doesn't make sense. How are you going to make the berakah and it's still in its vessel? I mean, the lulav is sitting in the vase and the etrog is in the box. How can you make a berakah? It's not, it's too far away. We learned in Menachot, tefillin. When do you make the berakah, the tefillin? Mishat hanacha achat keshira. Which means, you place the tefillin on your arm, so it's prepared, and right before you're about to tie it, that's when you make the berakah. V'chol sha'ah shen ha-mitzvah mezumenet b'yado la'asot, lo mistamei klal levarech aleha. Which means, it doesn't make sense. Why the tefillin, you're not going to make laniyah tefillin when it's still in the, bag. So that would be similar to the lulav. You're not going to make it when it's still in the vase. V'sheme mishiyatchil litol lulav kodem shiyitol la'etrog mevarech. So the Tosafot gives you option number one. Maybe take the lulav first without the etrog. Just hold the lulav in your hand alone. So at least you got something of the mitzvah in your hand. Now, after you make the beracha, that would be before you fulfill the mitzvah, because you don't fulfill the mitzvah until you take all four species together. So that would be one option. Hold the lulav in your right hand, keep the etrog in the box, of course open it up so you're prepared to take it immediately, say the beracha and then grab the lulav. Option number two, le'achar shenotel shenehem, take both of them, ela shehofech echad mehen, turn over one of them. Specifically, let's say it would be easier to turn over the etrog. Now, what is turning over upside down the etrog going to do? Kedavni besot perkin, kesheafcho de'en yotze b'mitzvot ela derech gedilatan. You're not yotze in the mitzvah only when you're holding them in the direction that they grow. And then by holding the etrog upside down, it's invalid. So therefore, very good option. Turn the etrog upside down, make the beracha on the tilat lulav, so it's over la'asiyatan, and then flip it back over, and you're okay. Kedarshinan perik lav araba medichtiv atzeh shittim omedim. Okay, the pasuk says atzeh shittim omedim. That's referring to the Mishkan. Ve'afidu nakitu kederek dilatan. Third option, Tosfot says, pick up the lulav the normal way. Pick up the etrog the normal way. And you can still make the beracha. How? You did the mitzvah already. No. If shash yitkaven shelo latzet bo ad achar beracha, which means you're able to have negative kavana. Which means before you pick it up, you have in mind, I do not want to fulfill the mitzvah. That's just what goes on to explain. It's one thing if you had a pav kavana, where you were a blanket kavana, you'll be yotzeh. But when you have a negative kavana, I don't want to be yotzeh, So therefore, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah against your will. Therefore, pick it up with a negative kavanah. So the mitzvah didn't hit yet. Say the beracha, and right after you say the beracha, already you'll fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, Tosfot gives us the three options in how to make the beracha on the lulav. Very, very appropriate. It should be noted that according to the Mikubalim, as brought down by the Ben Ish Chai, that in every mitzvah, one should try to get mashava, the thought process working, kavana, dibur, his verbal expression, as well as maaseh, the action. And therefore, the beracha becomes very integral part of the mitzvah, as that would be his verbal expression before he fulfills the mitzvah. And therefore, one must be very careful when he makes the berachot, because that is, like I said, an integral part of the verbal part of his mitzvah, as well as the kavanah that he has as well. Okay, so we continue now to the new and next Mishnah. Comes the Mishnah. Now, before we read the next Mishnah, we actually have to give a sort of an introduction. The next Mishnah is going to talk about the laws of Shemitah. What are the laws of Shemitah? We know in Eretz Yisrael, in the seventh year of the cycle, it's called the sabbatical year, the Shemitah year, and there's certain restrictions regarding what a farmer is allowed to do with the crops of his field. For example, it's forbidden to plant, it's forbidden to prune, to harvest, and not to pick fruits from the trees, and there's other isurim as well. For example, one is not allowed to do commerce with the laws, with the fruit of Shemitah. Which, what does commerce mean? Which means you cannot sell the fruits of Shemitah, and then that money becomes actually Kodesh. Which means if you sell the fruits of Shemitah, the Kiddushah of the Shemitah fruit goes on the money, and that money has certain restrictions. You can only buy food with that money. You're not allowed to put it in the bank and save that money, or you're not allowed to buy things that are asur with that money. So therefore, there's major restrictions on how you transact with the fruit of Shemitah. Now, it should be pointed out that the only thing you can do with the fruits of Shemitah is, if it's fruit, you can eat them, you could drink from them, you could anoint your skin with them, you can use it as fuel, you can use it as dye, which means whatever is the normal usage of the item, until a certain point that is, you can use it. Which means you're not allowed to take an item and destroy it, and use it not in its normal way. Now it should be noted that even eating fruit of the Shemitah is only permissible till a certain time, which means that's called Sha'at Bi'ur, which means as long as there's that species of fruit in the fields, so you're able to eat from that fruit in your homes. However, once the field, they run out of them, which means the crop is no longer in the fields, so then already you have to get rid of them, it's called Sha'at Bi'ur, from your house. You have to dispose them. Okay, so that's basically the introduction to the law of Shemitah. Now, what does it got to do with lulav and etrog? Well, obviously, an etrog is a fruit. And therefore, we're going to have to figure out what do we do during the Shemitah year? How do we acquire the etrog? So the Mishnah begins. Halokeyah lulav mehavero b'shevi'it. A guy's buying a lulav from his friend during the Shemitah year. Now when we say lulav, we mean the lulav, the hadas, and the arava. Now, it should be noted that Rashi right away points out, Alokeyah lulav mehavero, li nir'eh, that alokeyah lulav me'ama'ares karsinan. The right text in this Mishnah would be, you're actually buying the lulav from an ama'ares, from an ignoramus, we'll call him, but really ama'ares in this context is somebody that's not careful in the mitzvot. Now, like it says in the Gemara, so that's Amaris, what from an Amaris? Now, it says, Alokeh lulav mehavero b'shevi'it. Now, Rashi says, Ve'amaris legabe haber, lo kari lehavero.
which means you wouldn't say if a Tamir Hakam is buying from an Amaris, you wouldn't refer to the Amaris as his friend. Because the Amaris relatively is not the friend of the Tamir Hakam. So if we can't say, Lukeyah, Lulav Mehavero, you're not my friend, you're not even on the same level. The Elokeyah Name Amaris. Now, that she just points out that the buyer must be a Tamir Hakam over here. Because if the buyer is an Amaris, Mit Sayyidan Nazik Havero Behashud, so then she says, one Amaris is not going to consider his friend an Amaris. And therefore suspect him for any wrongdoing. So if you have to say it's a Tamir Hakam who's purchasing lulav from an Amaris, so the Hakam obviously understands that the Amaris is suspected on certain practices, and therefore the Mishnah is going to have to tell us what he should do. Noten lo etrog b'matana. So the Amaris actually, he could sell him the lulav, but he's got to give him the etrog as a gift. Which means that Tamir Hakam, you're not allowed to pay for the etrog. Rashi, noten lo etrog b'matana. Chaver, Hakam, shekoneh she'anak kulam ha'amaris, b'shem yivakesh lo niten lo etrog b'matana. Should I ask him, listen, I can't pay you for the etrog, I pay you for the lulav, just give me the etrog as a gift. Lefi she'en rashai. Because for some reason, which the Mishnah is not telling us, we'll wait to the Gemara, you're not allowed to pay the Amaris for the etrog. Okay? So we'll see exactly the reason. Comes the Gemara and says, Lo ratza liten lo b'matana mahu. Let's say the Amaris, he doesn't want to give the Hakam the gift, the etrog as a gift. This is his business over here. And start giving away etrogim over here. So he doesn't want to give it as a gift. So what do you do? Amar Avuna mabliya ale deme etrog balulav. So he could charge him a little extra for the lulav, and therefore the price of the etrog will be included into the price of the lulav. If we say a lulav is normally $10, right? So now instead of charging him $10 for the lulav, I could up the price of the lulav. You charge him now $50 for the lulav. So now in the price of the lulav, it's also including the price of the etrog. But Lashi points out and says, Yimkol lulav biyoker ad sheyiten lo etrog b'matana. Compensate him for the lulav until the Amaris will give you the etrog for free. Which means he's still got to give you the etrog b'matana. But you're just getting a method how to get that etrog b'matana, right? You pay him extra for the lulav. Now again, the Gemara did not tell us yet what the problem is. The Gemara right away has given us options and what, but we don't know what the issur is yet. So that's the Gemara's next question. The Gemara says, "Veliti vle behedya." Hold it. Let the Amaris just give the let him give the Amaris money and buy the etrog. Jeez, what are we talking about over here? Why is it asur to buy the etrog from the Amaris during the Shemitah? Now the Gemara is going back to the source over here. What's the whole problem to this to start off with over here? You're telling me a guy goes to an Amaris during Shemitah, oh, you got a problem. So the Gemara is saying, what's the problem? Let the guy pay money and let him give him his etrog. So the Gemara answers now. Lefi she'en mosrin deme ferot shevi'it la'amaris. Rule, you're not allowed to give money to Amaris to purchase produce of Shemitah. Yeah, what's the problem over here? Now, the problem is like this. The fruit of Shemitah is Kodesh. Good. Now, when you sell it, so the money that the Amaris is going to get is Kodesh as well. When the Kiddushah of the fruit transfers to the money. Now, you're only allowed to use that money for food items that you're going to eat during the Shemitah year. However, you're not allowed to save the money. Which again, you can't take the money that was used on selling Shemitah product and put it in the bank. And therefore, the issue is over here that you're setting up the Amaris to sin. What do you mean? If you're going to give him the money for the etrog, he doesn't follow the halakhot meticulously at all. We're worried that he's not going to know what to do with the money. And instead of going to buy food with the money, he's going to take the money and put it in the bank. Now you caused them to sin. And the Torah says, Lifnei iver lo titen mikshol. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of somebody. And therefore, it's a rabbinical enactment over here.
don't buy the etrog from the Amaharis of Shevi'i, because we don't trust them that he's going to spend the money the right way, and therefore you cause them to sin. Now, Tosfot goes a step further. Tosfot says we're worried that he's going to, he might buy stuff that's asur with it, like non-kosher animals, real estate, clothes, stuff like that, that are not food items. And therefore, I mean, that doesn't mean that she's arguing with that. Tosfot is giving examples over here. And therefore, that's the isur over here. So the Gemara says, how do you know that? Because we have a braita. En mosrin deme ferot shvi'it le'amaris. One is not permitted to give an amaris money to buy products of Shemitah. Yoter mimizon shalos se'udot. Aha. Which means you're not allowed to give him more money, more than it is to buy three se'udot. Which means if the amaris is selling product of Shemitah, you can't buy it from him. But there's a cap. How much money you could spend. You can only give him as much money as it would take him to buy three se'udot. What's the logic? Because let's say you're buying the goods on Friday from him. Now we know on Shabbat you have to have three se'udot. So if you buy the goods on Friday, you could assume he's going to take the money. Let's say each se'udot has $10. So yeah, you buy a product, give him $30. So you could assume with the $30 is going to go on Friday and buy his Shabbat food. Right? He has a meal for Friday night, Shabbat afternoon, Shabbat morning, Shabbat afternoon, three se'udot. Once already the rabbis allowed you to buy up to three se'udot, so they said, you know what, not only on Friday, will you buy any day of the week that allow you to go up to three se'udot. Alright, let's read Rashi. Yoter mimazon chalos se'udot. Actually, let's read the first Rashi. The En Moslim de Meperot. Da Torah Amra, because the Torah says, Le'okhla. You can eat the fruits of Shemitah ve'lo l'schora, but not for business. She'kol perot shvi'it hayavim litba'ir b'shvi'it. Not only you have to dispose of the fruit, but you get hen utmehen. You got to dispose of the monies. Ve'lo shi'aseh b'em schorato. You can't use the money for business purposes. Latzni'a la'ar shvi'it. Yeah, to save it till after the shvi'it u'la'ashir. Right, to become rich. The Amaharis hashudim al kach. The Amaharis are suspected on that. Lefichach en muslim lehem damim nikah mehem klum bedamim dekabir al lefnei aved. You're going to go against the sin of lefnei aved. You're setting him up for a sin. Not the temichol. Yoter mazon shlo seudot. Aval mazon gimel muslim. You're allowed to give him money for at least three seudot. Kedi hayav. That's in order to can live. Ti ikah lemadis solat Shabbat. You can say he's buying it for Shabbat. Vechemad shutat be'ayrim Shabbat. What's the money we allowed him to sell it on Friday? So the rabbi said, you know, the whole week you can sell him up to three se'udot. So comes the Gemara and says, Ve'im masar lo. Now, let's say the Tamir Hakam, he made a mistake. He gave him more. Let's say, I told you the cap is $30, three se'udot. He bought fruit, $50. So he went over the limit. Ve'im masar lo yomar haremaot halalu yehu mehulalin al perot sheyesh li betoch beti. So now you're going to have to somehow take the sanctity off that money now, which means that money is now in the Amaharis' possession, but it's Kodesh now. It's Shevi'it money. And we suspect them to spending it for the wrong thing. So the Gemara says you could actually take the Kiddushah off that money and place it on the fruit that's in your house. Hakam has a fruit in his kitchen. It's not Shemitah fruit. It's regular fruit. But he's got to save the Amaris from sin. So what does he do? He says the Kiddushah and the money that I just gave him, let that now transfer to my fruit that's in my house. Look at Rashi. Ve'im masar lo sheshakra'u masar lo yomar haver zeh shemasar lo ma'ot alalu shemasar ila amare zeh. What's that Aleph? The Aleph says ve'hala kesarich lomar aleim kedushat shvi'it. Which means the Rashi holds that the actual fruit that the haver has in his house is going to become Kodesh of Shvi'it now. It's a legal transfer. Tosfot, however, argues on Rashi. Tosfot says you can't do that. You can't transfer
something that's not in your possession. See, now the money's already in the Amar's possession. What are you doing? You're transferring that money to the food that's in your house? So what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara says that actually this is a penalty. Really, those food are going to remain Shemitah. But because you went against the rabbi's law and you sold them when you shouldn't have sold them, the rabbi's going to tell you the fruit that you have in your kitchen now at home, it's going to become shivrit also now. We're putting a penalty on you because you did wrong, but you really can't make a legal transfer. Because we have a fantastic about look at the Rashi Tosfot over here, is this a legal transfer or is this like a knas that the Hakamim gave you because you sold it the wrong way? In any event, the Gemara comes along and says, Uba ve'ochlan b'kedushat shevi'it. Now the Tamir Hakam has to eat those fruit that are in his house with the sanctity of Shemitah, which means he's got to eat it, drink it, whatever he's supposed to do with the Shemitah fruit, that's what happens to this guy's fruit as well. Look at that, she on top. Uba haver ze ve'ochel otan ha'pelot b'kedushat shevi'it achila u'shtiyah v'sicha v'adlakat ha'ner. And all the normal ways of benefiting, she'ena na'ot ha'mutarot b'hek v'fereish. Okay. Comes Gemara and says, b'me devarim amurim. That which we said you can give him for three meals. When is that said? Belokeya ben amufkar. Oh, that's only when you're buying from an ama'aris that abandoned his field. In the rule, in another law of Shemitah. The law of Shemitah is you're not allowed to protect your field with a fence. You're not allowed to guard your field. Once Shemitah comes, all the produce and all the fields are considered hefker. And therefore, when do we give you a dispensation to buy from the Ama'aris Shemitah fruit up to three meals? That's only if you know the guy's following the laws. That's about a guy where at least you see the guy knows something. The guy at least abandoned the field. He made his field hefker. Alright, because then already you see that the guy's, he's doing something, which means the guy knows something. However, aval belokeya min amshumar. If you buy from an amahari that has a locked gate around his field, then the Gemara says, afilu bechasi isar asur. Then it's forbidden to even buy a half an isar's worth. Why? Because you see that this amahari, he's not following anything. And therefore, we don't give you any dispensation. Even a half a isav, even a half a dollar's worth of fruit, we're not going to let you buy. Let's read Rashi. Third line. Rashi says, the haver saw shenitlaketu perot alal besadeh mufkar. You saw clear that it's from an abandoned field. She'en amar zeh shomro. Right, the Amar is not guarding it. So since already you see that, we see that guy's not suspected. Jeez, once already you see he's following something, right, the guy at least knows that he got to keep the field the hefker. Which means, it's like the guy's still Amaris, you can't forget that. We're still doing Amaris. So once already you see he's following something, the rabbis tell you, okay, listen, you can buy up to three seudot. But more than three seudot, we're worried that the Amaris is Yetzirah is going to kick in, and when he gets all that money, he's going to end up saying, you know what? I want to store it. I want to save it for putting in the bank. So therefore, the dispensation of three seudot is only when you see the Amaris does something to a certain extent. He at least he abandoned his field. Next Rashi. Avadokeya mena mishumar. She said, "This why that mishumeret begeder. The guy has a fence around his field. U petach naul and a locked door. Zed nechshad deyan she'eno mafkir la'aniim. So this guy over here is not following the law. He's not banning the field to the poor people. Dechtiv achlu ebyone amecha va'arama ish mochran." Aliyad. Correct. Now he's tricking around and he's going to sell his fruit. So this guy over here is a wise guy. So he's selling his fruit now. He wants to get some money to save it. Then already we don't allow him to even buy the smallest amount. Okay? So that's the opinion of Rashi. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Mativ Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat has a question.
ומן המופקר שלוש סעודות ותולה. What do you mean? When you're going to a hefker field, you can only buy up to three seudot and no more. Would mean we have a contradiction. What's the contradiction? Hafegam vehayarbusin vehashitim vehalaglogot vekusbar shebearim vekarpas shebenearot vegergir shel afar peturim min ha-ma'aser ונקחין מכל אדם בשביעית לפי שאין כיוצא בהם נשמר. Okay, let's give the interpretation to these type of vegetables over here. I was going to give you the English to these over here, and you see what they are. Pegam, they explain it as rue. Yerbuzin as sorrel. Shittim and halag logot. Shittim is asparagus, and halag logot, purslane. Kusbar shebearim is mountain coriander, and karpas shebenearot is river cress. Gergir shel afar is meadow rocket. What's the common denominator between all these things? So the din is piturin min ha-ma'aser. They're exempt from ma'aser. Why? Let's read Rashi. Bechol ha-shanim, all the years of the Shemitah cycle, you don't know ma'aser on them. Nobody protects fields of these items. It's not, these are insignificant vegetables. Anybody that has a field of these items usually abandons it for everybody. Oh, important rule. Things that are abandoned, you're exempt from ma'asir. How do we know that? Uba Levi, who gets the ma'aser, the Levi, ki en lo chelik v'nachala emach. Says the Levi who does not have a share in the land, he will get ma'aser. Bedavar she'en lo chelik v'nachala emach yitol ma'aserotav. Yatza efker leket shekau pe'ah sheyesh lo chelik emach. Which means he only gets ma'aser from stuff that he has no piece of. However, hefker, he has a piece of. He's like everybody else. So therefore, there's no ma'aser on that. Again, the Torah says he only gets a piece of the action on fields that he has no chelik with you. But if he has a chelik with you, how can he have the chelik? If you made it hefker, so he's no different than anybody else. So then those fruits over there are exempt from ma'asir. Now, what else are they exempt from? Well, it says, v'nikahim mikol adam b'shevi'it. You may purchase these items from even an ama'aris during Shemitah. Rashi. ונקחים מכל אדם בשביעית, ואף אגב בשביעית נהגה במופקרים, even though the קדושה בשביעית applies to abandoned fruit, בפני שאין כיוצא בהם נשמר, which means, because bottom line, all these fields are abandoned, ואבי ללוקח מן המופקר, you're buying, you're taking from הפקר, but it's קדושה בשביעית, ואף אגב דלא ידעינן בבעי, דוודאי הפקר, that even though you don't know for sure that these fields were hefker, ma'azikina lebe'achi, you could assume that these fields were hefker, the end derech l'shomran, like we said, not the derech to protect them, lefichach, moslin lo demehen, you could go to the ama'ar, let's say he's, selling these fruit over here, you could pay him, ve'lo hajdinan le shi'etzni'am nishora, and we don't suspect that he's going to take the money and store them. Alma belokeach mena mufkar maslinan tuva. Here's the point. From this bright, that's mashma, when you're buying something that was from a hefker field that was left abandoned, you could buy as much as you want. You just told me what? You got up to three seudot. From this bright, that's mashma, nah. On these produce over here that are really hefker items, you could buy as much, there's no limit. Right? Because it says nikhin. You could purchase stuff. Didn't tell you how much you could purchase. You could purchase as much as you want. So the Gemara, that was the question of Rav Sheshat. Again, you understand the question? The question was, you told me above that, what? From an Ama'aris, if the field is abandoned, then already you got the three Se'udot dispensation. You could buy up to three Se'udot. So what are you talking about? Here's Masra from abandoned fruit. You can even buy as much as you want. You don't have to only buy up to three Se'udot.
Right? That was the question.
So comes the Gemara and says, no. Who motiv la, who mefarek la? Rav Sheshat asked the question, and Rav Sheshat answered the question. Bechde man shanu. Man means sustenance, which means when we said you could buy from the Amaharis, we didn't mean unlimited amount. Bechde man, according to his sustenance. How much is a sustenance? Well, the maximum sustenance that he needs for a given day, at least on Shabbat, is what? 3 se'udot. V'chein amar ababar barhana amar yuhanan b'chdei man shanu. Yeah, it's only talking about the shi'ur of his sustenance. Now, me'e mashma de'ay man nishtad mizonehu. How do you know the word man means mizonot? T'chtiv v'ayman lahem ha'melech. And the king provided Daniel and his friends sustenance. V'ayman. They provided them sustenance. So you see what? That they really, it's only up to 3 se'udot. Now the Gemara goes on to the next point. Gemara says, hold on. Gemara says, lulav nameh. Ihache lulav nameh. If so, we should have the same law by the lulav. Look at that she. Ihache de'em mosim de'meh shifeit ama'ares. If you don't have to give money to an amaris for shivyit stuff, lulav namel lo nizban mina. We shouldn't be able to buy the lulav. Shabono ek shivyit, which means the palm tree also has shivshemitah laws applied to it. So the Mishnah made it like there's no problem with lulav. The only issue we had was the etrog. What are you talking about? There's a problem with lulav also. So the Gemara says, lulav bar shishita nechnas shivyitu. Oh, you know what type of lulav we're talking about? Where it grew in the sixth year. And you just cutting it in the seventh year. And the law is, since it grew in the sixth year, so already it has a deed of 60-year produce, even though you're cutting it in the seventh year. It's not Shemitah goods, which means the Shemitah starts in Tishri. Okay? Sukkot is 15 days later. We're assuming that the lulav didn't grow from Rosh Hashanah until Sukkot, 15 days. It must have grown before Rosh Hashanah. So there you go. It's not a Shemitah lulav. Look at Rashi. Umeshane lulav bar shishit nechnas shivyitu tal korhak b'hamisha asar yom shem Rosh Hashanah hag lo gadel. It didn't grow from Rosh Hashanah till Sukkot. V'kaimelan ilan batar hanata azdinat. Now regarding trees, a tree, you follow it according to the year that it sprouted. According to the hanata, that's when the bud came off and the tree started to emerge. So therefore, since the budding took place in the sixth year, it's considered the sixth year. And therefore, no problem of Shemitah. So comes again what Aaron says. It's hanata. Comes again what Aaron says, okay. If so, etrog name bat shishit haneklas l'shivyaiti. Oh, say the same thing about the etrog. When do you think the etrog grew? 15 days? The etrog also must have grown in the sixth year. It emerged in the sixth year. And then now when you're buying it, so why do you have a problem of Shemitah at all? Like how around the seventh year, you're buying an etrog that emerged in the sixth year, just like you said, by the lulav. Right? So the Gemara answers, no, etrog batar nekita azlina. Oh. When it comes to an etrog, you follow when it was picked. I've given rules now. Lulav, you follow when it emerged. But an etrog, it goes after when it was picked. Rashi, etrog batal lekita azdinat, dehaluk mishar ilanot. Etrog is different than all other trees. Vidino ki yarak. We treat it like a vegetable. Now by vegetables, it goes when it's picked. Shalcho bo batal lekita. Mishum de gadal al kolmayim. Because an etrog is similar to a vegetable, because both have a common denominator. They both grow next to water. It's not sufficient the rainwater that it gets. It needs to be grown next to water in order to get extra water. Kedaminu b'Rosh Hashanah. Utpu'a v'ilanot. Regarding wheat and trees, gidlim al megeshamim. It can suffice on rainwater. V'etrog gadil al kol mayim. It needs all the waters. Shemashkin oto tamid keyarak. You have to water it plus the rainwater. So that's the opinion why your etrog is subject to Shemitah. So the Gemara says, hold it. V'ha ben Rabban Gamliel. U ben Rabbi Eliezer. What are you talking? According to the opinions of Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, le'inyan shvi'it, regarding the laws of Shemitah, etrog batar hanata azlinan. Etrog goes after the emergence of the fruit. So what are you telling me? You're telling me, no, it goes after the kita. What are you talking about? We have no opinions like that. We have the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban Gamliel. What were they arguing about? So let's review. During the Shemitah cycle in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, Aveda, 1, 2, 4, 5, one must give Maasir Rishon to the Levi, Maasir Sheni, a second Maasir, he takes Yerushalayim, and he eats the year fruit. In the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah, he gives Maasir Ani, okay, instead of Maasir Sheni. Now, so every year, you have to know where you're holding, so you know exactly which Maasir are you going to give. Now, how do you judge the year of a tree? So, both Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, they say that the year of the Etrog, you start counting from when the Etrog emerged. That's already considered year number one. In order to know exactly which year you're going to be in, so you know what you have to give Maaser Ani or Maaser Sheni. Okay, whereas vegetables go to the year they were picked. So the Gemara is asking the obvious question, what are you talking about? You're telling me what? Etrog goes after when it is picked. It's not so. You have the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer. They say, well, in Yad Shvi'it, Etrog, Batar, Hanata, Harino, Ditnan. Etrog, Shaveli, Ilan, Bishlusha, Derachim. Etrog is similar to a tree in three ways. Ul Yarak, Bederech Ehad, and a vegetable in one way. What? Shaveli, Ilan, Bishlusha, Derachim. It's similar to a tree in three ways. That what? Le'orla. Regarding the laws of Orla, that means the first 3 years, the fruit is off limits. The fourth year is called Neta Reba'i, which is Kodesh. You have to take those fruits up to Yerushalayim and eat it. And regarding Shemitah, and what are they similar in? That you start counting the years after the Hanata, when the fruit emerged. And it's similar to the Yarak, in one way. How? Shibishat likitato esuro, which means that the status of taking ma'aser is what? Shibishat likitato, at the time that you pluck it, the picking, like the vegetables, right? That's similar. Devei Rabban Gamliel. That's according to Rabban Gamliel. However, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, etrog shaveh le'ilan lechol davar. In every respect, even regarding ma'aser, it's treated like the ilan, that what? It goes after the hanata. And therefore, the discussion over here was regarding ma'aser. She's the machloket between the bangam and the bilya'ezer was what? How do you judge an etrog for ma'aser purposes? Does it go after the hanata? Or does it go after the lekita? However, regarding shemitah, there was no machloket. It's mashmah that by Shemitah, everybody agrees it grows after the emergence. It grows after the Hanata. And therefore, we have a contradiction. Because again, we just told you what? That regarding the Etrog's talking about it emerged in the 60th year. So we said, so what? Regarding Etrogim, we don't go when it emerges. We go when it was picked. What are you talking about? We only have a mahloket, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, by ma'asir. Does it go after the emergence? Does it go after it was picked? But by shvi'it, and it's mashmah, everybody agrees it goes after when it was, when it emerged. So therefore your etrog is really a 60-year etrog. Alright, so the Gemara answers, Udamar ki aitana. So basically with the Gemara is going to tell us now is that our Tana is following another Tana, not Rabbi the Eliezer and not Rabbi Gamliel. The Tanya, we have a Braita, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Abtolmos Se'id Mishum Amisha Zekenim. Abtolmos, that's the five. In the name of five Zekenim, Etrog Achar Lekita Lema'aser. That the Etrog follows the picking Lekita regarding Ma'aser. V'rabotenu Nimnu Be'usha V'amu. And the rabbis in Usha, the yeshiva, they ruled and said, Ben Lema'aser, Ben Leshevi'i. Therefore, that's the opinion. Not only Maaser goes after Lekita, but even the laws of Shemitah go after the Lekita. So the Al Mishnah is following the rabbis of Usha. That what? That it goes after the picking, and that's why when you buy from an Amaharis in the seventh year, you got a problem. Because it was picked in the seventh year. And then that's considered Shemitah fruit. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.